You Can't Clip My Wings, a powerful show that discusses life and how we live it.
All right. Hello, you guys. How you doing? Mr. Porter, how you doing tonight? Can you hear me? Let me see. Mr. Porter, can you hear me? There we go. All right, let me see who's on here. I'm sorry. Somebody with an iPhone. I just need to make sure you can hear me. Can you unmute? Not you, baby. There's somebody else that's got themselves. Okay, great. Awesome. Don't be shy on here. Somebody just have an iPhone. They don't want to tell me who they are, but they let me know. Good. Awesome. Okay. Just want to make sure you guys can hear me. Okay, there we go. All right. Now, I haven't used my iPod on a Zoom meeting in a while. So now we're on not only on the iPad, we're also on my Blog Talk, a radio show, which if you want to call into that number, let me give you that number. The number is 563-999-3576 if you want to come over and listen to it on the radio. Either way it goes, we have open ways of you guys, several ways of you guys listening in or commenting. So I just want to make sure I have both of those areas open. Okay, so I want to welcome you guys to the Can We Be Frank show. I can't even remember. I haven't even remembered when I started. I'm going to try to keep the numbers intact, but I can't right now. I'll go back and do it later. But I want to definitely talk about what's been going on here lately. I want to talk about news. I want to talk about a little bit of politics. Educating the community. We got so many things coming up. I know in July they start to qualify for the election. We've seen some things happen. On our last show, we talked about some real, you guys are missing a great treat. Whoever is not listening to us, we're getting some good information shared on this show. And it is so wonderful that I have the ability to do this. Anybody, when we went off the air last time, I told anybody could pick up this mantle and do what we do. I'm telling you, you can do a Zoom show, 30-minute ones out here that we should be sharing all this information on, and we're not doing it. The whole purpose of us kind of stepping back, taking a break, because both our lives, me and Tavares' life, has changed drastically. We are not even in the same area anymore. He's finally on his own. And I'm on my own. I'm in my house. So we have a different way of we getting in contact with each other. We do things differently now because we're not around each other all the time. So with us taking that major break we took, it really helped us out on our end because now I'm trying to declutter everything, and I found some great information. But I was trying to encourage other people to do this. I thought somebody would pick up the mantle and continue doing this. I really did. But I'm not hearing that. I talked to someone today, and they were telling me that nobody else is talking any of the information that you guys have been sharing. And they kind of miss it because they're like, why you guys are quiet? But we're not. We just change platforms. We change platforms that are not going to be interrupted by anybody tagging us and reporting us and all that because of the things that we've shared. They've even, and I don't know if I've told you guys this, if you go on our Universal Collective Network page, you'll see where they've even they've taken down some of our videos. And the majority of stuff we talk about is not stuff we made up. It's actually having the inside scoop of what's going on in our community. So whenever they felt, quote unquote, we were bad-mouthing certain people, that turned into them blocking our shows. So a lot of stuff you guys didn't get because they blocked the shows. They reported the shows. So if they report the shows, some of our shows got taken down. So I got kind of tired of that, and I thought it was important to find another platform when we decided to come back because me and him talked about it. Me and Tavares have talked about it, and I said, well, I want to come back enough probably up until at least September. come back on, you know, after they qualify for the campaign and all that, hopefully, you know, we'll talk. I mean, we might change that, but right now that's what I'm looking at. So I want to get as much information out to you guys as possible. Now, you guys know that they caught the guy, Derek Swofford. First of all, you guys, he's not related to us, okay, not that I know of. Because I was like, I was getting people like, is that, no? And I was teasing my sisters. I called my sisters, and I was talking to them about it. We don't know Derek Swofford. If he's in the family, we don't directly know him. I'll put it to you like that. Because majority of those Swoffords are related. So, because as you guys know, my maiden name is Swofford, and Tavares is Swofford, and I have a niece that works for KLX that's a Swofford. So, that's our maiden name, okay? We didn't have anything to do with it. That's our maiden name. But, yeah, he got caught finally. I noticed some of the city council meetings that they've been bringing people up front to talk about crime. And one, I was talking to someone, and they were telling me that they're not talking about the drugs. They're just pushing about the crime. So I'm curious about that. I'm really curious why they're not talking about the drug use and how is it affecting the neighborhoods. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey. Hey, Miss Lynn.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Good to hear your voice.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. How's the husband doing? How's the family doing all together?
All together. All of us are doing good.
Great.
He's doing good. Thank God. We're all doing good.
Good.
He's doing better since he got out of college.
I bet you he is. I bet you he's doing wonderful now. It's something. Something. Yeah.
He'll be able to help better now.
Exactly. He'll be able to. Hello, sir. Mr. Porter, how are you? Oh, he's coming in. How you doing, sir? Okay. Okay.
Hey.
How you doing? How's everything?
Again, huh?
No, we got several people up in here. No, it's Dr. Suss. I'm on a different, what's the name? Okay, hold up. Let me see if I'm on my iPad, so it's kind of different. Let me see if I can switch to that. There we go. Awesome. Okay. So I was just telling them why we came back on this end. Why did I get the show started up? And I was telling them how I thought somebody else would pick up the mantle and do this show, you know, take on this type of thing. I heard Urban Cass is very active. They're going out and doing news stories, so I mean, maybe they're doing something great. I don't know because I don't keep up with them. I was also telling people that if you want to, also you can go on the Blog Talk because we're on Blog Talk too. If you feel like you don't want to be on this end on Zoom, you can always go over on Blog Talk Radio. 563-999-3576 is the number to call in on, and you can listen from that end too. Let me see here. Okay, here we go. Admit. Okay, this is somebody else. All right. Okay. Yes. So, hello. So, yeah, if you want to go over on Blog Talk and listen in, you can definitely go over there. It's 563-999-3576 to call in on that number. So let me say that again. Oh, it's actually 563-999-3576. You can call in on the Blog Talk show also. Hi, how are you? So, you guys, guess what I found? Oh, my God. What did I do with it? Oh, I found, you know, we were talking about $5 in a pork chop thing. Remember you guys were talking about that? I found my book.
Yeah, I remember when we first got the book. I remember that.
Exactly. Now, you know what I was just reading in here, you guys? And I don't, Mr. Porter, I don't know. I've always said this, and I want you guys to understand why I say this. I always said that I believe that Fowler has a cape and a hood in the back of his closet. I've said that. It's just the vibes that he give out. And I don't know if this is the same family of Fowlers, but let me read you this real quick here. And I think we've talked about this before. It says here, they were talking about the Red River area. It says the first case of Malvo investigated came from the Red River, a thinly populated parish in northwestern Louisiana. The Fowlers, yes, Jerry Jr.'s extended family had ruled local politics for decades. Hendricks Marion Mutt Fowler was the former mayor and state representative. Like much of northern Louisiana, Red River was a land of cotton plantations, slavery, and slavery by another name. Solomon Northrup spent most of his 12 years enslaved in that area. In 1876, in the parish seat, Coushatta, six elected white Republicans and six freedmen were murdered by the White League, which was bent on ending Reconstruction. In the early 20th century, thousands of African Americans in the parish and the rest of the state began to migrate north and then west, seeking escape from the oppression of segregation. Underfunded education and electoral disenfranchisement, President Lyndon B. Johnson predicted political realignment, whites began after the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The conservative white majority of Red River Parish voters reelected Bush in 2004. So this is basically telling us when Malvo was doing his investigation on voter fraud and voter intimidation and stuff, he found out that Mutt, his name was Mutt, they called him Mutt Fowler, had a lot to do with it. Now, aren't we from Louisiana? We central Louisiana, so that's probably Red River area. So there is a parish called Red River Parish?
Yeah, I think there is, yeah. But look, Coushatta is not that far from us.
I know. So is it not? Okay, so it would be interesting to find out where Fowler family came from. I'm just saying. I'm telling you guys, if you ever talk to Councilman Fowler and you really talk to him, y'all, to me, his vibes is straight Klan. I'm sorry. And I'm not.
Look, first of all, he's not going to talk to you.
No, that's right. That's right.
You're going to get a one-word answer.
That's right. No.
Yes.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
Yes, maybe.
Yep.
He's not going to talk to you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that's from firsthand experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
3 years and 5 months.
Yep.
Experience.
He's
not going to talk.
He's not going to talk. That's right. So to take that into consideration, he comes from a family where this is the norm, how you treat black folks. He comes from a family that makes it well known how you're supposed to treat black folks. Okay? So I found that in there. It's other stuff in here, but it's just interesting that name came up. And I think we talked about him before. Malvo was the one who actually was doing the investigation. He was the one who was going around finding out that's what they were doing, buying votes. And he got deep into this. But we'll bring some more stuff up. But there's another thing I found, too. So I went and pulled out all my old agendas and letters and stuff that down through the years we talked about. The Hodges Stockyard, I found that. I'm in the process of decluttering my office. So I found some stuff with some facts on it, all the stuff that we talked about. Remember when we talked about the idea that there was supposed to be a supermarket? They were trying to do a, what is that thing called? When they do the surveying for a business. What was that called?
Market analysis.
Okay. Did you know that they did a market analysis back in 2014 for Lower Third and Green Oak Avenue? This right here. Did y'all remember this? Remember we talked about this? This was like a long, 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 long time ago. Remember they said that that store that sat on the corner of Third, right across from what used to be Girlfriends, but I think Uncle Willie owns that store now, where it used to be a butcher. Okay. Do you know they said that was a supermarket for the area, and that's why they never brought in a major chain? That's what this was about?
Yeah. Now, I remember that they didn't want to put that operation out of business.
That's exactly right.
I remember them talking about that.
Yep. The market analysis.
And I'm not sure. I remember the discussion about that.
Let's see. There was something else. Remember the Spark program? Initiative? I found like, what? All this information. Let me tell you. I'm trying to figure out where did I get a lot of this from. I got a lot of this from, I think, when Mr. Fuller was in office. I got a mixture of this information from there and information that I found that I actually looked up myself. Mr. Porter at the time, he was giving us information, kind of keeping us the fact sheet. Oh, what is this? Oh. I think you were the one who gave us fact sheets on how they explain stuff before they put it on the not before they put it on the agenda. They already know what they're going to vote on. So this is just a fact sheet just for a paper trail.
And so many of them were just blank.
Yeah, a lot of them were blank.
Nothing. If you wasn't involved in those discussions, then you had nothing to go on.
That's right.
Because those fact sheets were blank.
That's right. You're right.
And as a city council member who was not in that little circle of pre-discussion, even before the meeting, so they got really upset with me asking questions. I don't know if y'all remember that, where they actually was criticizing me, and this is our people, right? Criticizing me for asking questions. So after several meetings where I was getting these criticisms for asking questions, I read from the city council charter, the city charter, that stated that the council members have the right to ask questions, to inquire about. And I was letting them know I'm just doing my job. But it was a shame. It was my own people attacking me for trying to do the job I was elected to do.
I remember that, Mr. Porter. I remember.
And that is crazy. That is so sad that it is. That they did not do the right thing in a lot of ways. People were taking the advice and having other people talking in their ears, and they didn't want to hear anything you said. But I got validated, or somebody I know got validated, because they were talking about the same stuff we were talking about, and the person that they were talking to told them, we should have listened to you guys, because we wouldn't have what we have now if we would have listened to y'all. Other people, the wrong people, were in their ears. And they're, look, let me tell you something. These people are suffering from that. They really are. They're suffering real bad. You look at our murder rate. You look at the crime. You look at everything. You look at the unemployable. Nothing, anybody came up with anything that made it better for the city. Everybody was on the bandwagon of on it and leaving it alone, don't want to talk about it, saying that you shouldn't ask questions like you supporters said. All of that was going on, and all the time, look at where we at. It's like everything has stopped. Nothing has moved forward on anything. And anybody who's benefiting from anything, they don't look like us unless they act like them. Okay?
Right.
That's the only ones who's benefiting from anything. Other than that, we're just faking how great it is to be here. And we don't have, and I'm not knocking anybody who's making, doing things that are positive for them. But as a whole, that's a whole different ballgame. Communities are suffering. Not one community, all of the communities are suffering. One, two, and three is catching hell. And when are we going to stop talking about it sitting on the front porch? When are we going to get off the front porch and take it to the streets? That's what I'm not talking about protesting the information to the streets. Get the people in the community understand where they can be better at. Instead of us sitting on the porch talking about it, throwing back and forth great ideas, and we're not doing nothing with it. We're not doing nothing with it. But they gotta want change. And I think too, there's a certain amount of people that have given up. Hey, this is the way it's gonna be. I ain't changing. They not changing, and they've given up hope. You don't really want them to give up the hope. And that's why it's so important to make sure we're vetting who's coming in that office, because y'all, it's not going to get any better. I shared an article or post that they put up for Mayor Leslie Thompson. I follow him because we were good friends at one time up in Jonesboro, and they're doing a auction for houses. It's not Rapides Parish. I mean, their parish is not doing it. The city is doing it. So it's city property that they're doing an auction on. Have you guys done that?
No.
Well, that's what he's doing.
All of the auctions of property is conducted by the sheriff's sale in Rapides Parish.
Okay. Well, they're doing it. It's their property, and he said, I think it's 21 houses that they're auctioning off in their area. So why isn't our mayor doing that?
Well, we have no vision. We do not have a visionary in charge. Now, there's persons who have vision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always shared my vision.
Mm-hmm.
On this show, and anybody that would stand still long enough to listen to me,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to share mm-hmm. where I feel, what direction we should be in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how to get there, what path to follow
mm-hmm.
to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But here, we do not have a vision.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can find this. I'd like kids. I don't know. I might be fumbling around. Can't find it. We're going through the budget review process.
Uh-huh.
And I was surprised to see this in writing. But it's so true. And truth hardly ever comes out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But keep talking. I'll see if I find it, and I'll come to it.
Okay. Let's see. I was looking at, like you were saying earlier, where they used to sit in blank stat sheets. This is one of them. This one is blank. And this was an ordinance authorizing the mayor to execute a professional services agreement with Castle Branch Background Research Company. That's it. Didn't say anything else. Nothing else. And that was
don't say anything else. Mm-hmm. And then you're expected to make a decision on that and vote yes or no.
Yep.
And you have no idea what the cost, what the consequences, what's going to be done, the scope of work. You know nothing.
Yep.
But that's the sort of stuff they will push forward.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the type of persons you have on the city council, they may just rubber stamp that and mm-hmm. all this stuff goes through.
Mm-hmm.
What our folks really need to know, and I know they wouldn't know this unless somebody on the inside told them, is that so many of those ordinances that come before the city council,
mm-hmm.
they are not produced by the administration.
Mm-hmm.
These are special interest people who go to somebody like Trey Giss, and they get that on to the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just sails right through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like the folks that work for the city are going around and saying, you know, we need this. This is going to improve this, or this will resolve this problem, or this will make things better or easier, or this will save money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that at all. What it is, it's the special interest for submitting all the things that they want.
Yeah. Yep.
It goes flying through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And these things do not benefit the populace of the city. As a matter of fact, most of these things take money and resources and opportunities away from the populace of
mm-hmm.
the city.
Yep.
Because it's all catered towards serving a privileged few,
mm-hmm.
Special interests.
Yep.
It's not for the general public.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you start asking questions or doing some research, looking into this, or trying to understand how does this really help us?
Yep.
What does this really cost? You know, the red flags, my alarms go off when they send me a data sheet with nothing on it.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me you're either very, very incompetent and you just didn't do thorough work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Your work's not complete. Or it tells me if you told me the cost and what it really does, there's no way in the world I would vote.
That's right.
So the least amount of information they could get the city council is what they go through with. And I gave that to you guys because that was a textbook example.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an isolated example. There are so many that come through every single agenda of a city council meeting with no backup information,
mm-hmm.
nothing whatsoever. And every time I see that, I know right away somebody put this forward, it's going to give them a huge benefit. And it's going to really hurt the people of Alabama.
Exactly.
And oftentimes the vote goes down 6-1.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oftentimes 6-1.
Yep. Remember, y'all remember that sexual harassment case with the Girardotto? The lawyers?
Who?
Sam Girardotto, and he had a brother, Tom, I think his name was Tom. Remember that? There was Tavares is the one who broke it down. It was a case of, I think it was an African-American young lady who was being harassed by them and were being, how he would talk to some of the ladies that worked there with them.
Now, is that the one where she had recorded something?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, she had it on tape.
Okay. Did you know that there was an ordinance back in July 18, 2018 that authorized the mayor to enter into a contract agreement with attorney Sam Girardotto to provide absentee attorney services? Yeah. We did that.
Wait, was this the restaurant?
It doesn't say. It says the Ninth Judicial Court appointed Mr. Sam Girardotto to provide absentee attorney services for the city's community development department. This is required for the condemnation and cost public hearings when the legal owner cannot be located and the absentee attorney must represent the property owner. This is necessary
yes.
to continue to address the blighted and abandoned property issues within the city. So is he still doing that?
Yes, he is.
I want
the only one we're using. Yes.
Wow.
And we do 70 of those a year.
Wow.
How many? Approximately 70 a year. That's how much money is in the budget. Because it costs us as much as $15,000 per house to demolish.
Okay, so how much are his fees? Do you know that?
I don't.
So if he's doing that per case.
It's going to be about $300 an hour.
And
that's the going rate that we're paying these attorneys that work for the city.
So that he's been doing this for the last 4 years. It'll be 4 years in July.
And then, see, we only have enough money in the budget to do about 70 houses. So, and usually we're through with that before the fiscal year is up.
Okay.
You know.
So if it's 70 houses and he's the one who represents the people, the landowners or the property owners who are absent, because he's considered an absentee attorney. So out of those 70, how many on average shows up that owns these properties and vouch for their property?
Maybe about 10.
So is he getting paid per case or is he just getting paid?
Yes, he's getting paid per case. And I don't know how many hours he might spend on that trying to research folks. What his job would be, he would do a search.
Yeah.
See if there's heirs or descendants.
Okay.
Okay. He would do a lien search to see if there's other liens on a property besides the tax lien.
Okay.
Property tax. Now, for the property to end up in that situation, that means property taxes have not been paid for 3 years.
Yeah.
And so even if you can contact an heir or descendant or the actual owner, if they're not responding or they do not pay the property tax, it goes into adjudication.
Yeah.
And then after it's in adjudication, if it's in such deplorable condition where it moves up on a list and it's in that top 70, then it gets demolished. And that's where he helps. So let's say even if he only spent 1 hour for each of the 70 properties.
Okay.
Or writing letters, researching descendants, and things like that.
Okay.
Then you're talking about 300 times 70. Okay, so that's $21,000. And if he spent 2 hours, that's $42,000. If he spent 4 hours, that's over
$100,000.
Oh, my God. My question is, who's over billing? Who's overseeing this project to know if that person is really doing all of that, or is he hooking and crooking the book?
Well, that would be the city attorney, because the city attorney is the only one who can hire legal attorneys. So, like, the city council can't go out and hire an attorney.
And who's the city attorney? And this person don't have some type of under-the-table contract. I'm just the devil's advocate.
No, you're absolutely right. So, but that's one of the situations.
Obviously, it doesn't say on here whether the yeas or nays are on here, but obviously he was able to get it through because you said he's doing it now, right?
Oh, yeah, he's still.
So who will come in and do an audit or request an audit to be done on all of this?
That would be the city council. When we contract the legislative auditors, they'll look at certain things. They don't, they can't audit everything, right? So they pick certain things to audit. And so that would be that. Now, if we wanted to contract them to look into specific things, then we can do that. But that would be a separate audit altogether.
Because it says within existing budget, it says within the existing budget, and it says expense amount is amount will vary based on hours spent. But
right,
to me, Is that the answer you give people? Because if I didn't know and I found out this, I would like to know how much is being spent on him in particular.
We actually have that information because at the end of this process,
mm-hmm.
liens are placed on the property.
Gotcha.
When the city goes out and demolishes the property at taxpayers' cost,
mm-hmm.
we place that cost, that total cost, as a lien on a property so that the property cannot be sold or transferred until the liens are paid up.
Okay.
That's why the city ends up with so much of that property.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up with it because even the little small shotgun or row houses that get knocked down,
mm-hmm.
depending if they have fiberglass, asbestos, lead pipe, lead paint,
mm-hmm.
Things like that, might have mercury, might have all kind of hazardous chemicals. That's what drives this cost up,
mm-hmm.
because you can't take that. First of all, you need certified persons to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dispose of it in a certain hazardous disposal site. All of that drives the cost up. And so you attach this $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 lien to the property, and the property market value is only about $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those small, narrow lots that the row houses were. So nobody's going to buy property that's worth maybe $2,500, $3,000 for $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not going to do that, you know. Mm-hmm. So the city is left with all of that. And we'll never get that money back. It's a losing proposition. The residents, they complain bitterly about these dilapidated houses. They want them torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to respond. We tear them down. But every time we do that, that's a losing proposition.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing. We're putting money down a hole, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my approach was, let's take those properties and the ones that's side by side. Let's repartition the two narrow properties into one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build houses on them. Let's offer it to first-time homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that's making $25,000 per household.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because with $25,000 a household, you will never qualify for a mortgage,
yeah.
right, to buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
But with us, you would. And if you can stay in that home and make those monthly payments for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
then at the end of that last monthly payment, this house is yours. You leave before then, you get zero. There's no equity accrued for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the program I've been proposing since before I got into office.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the program that the administration's been rejecting every single year. When Vaughn Jennings was over community development,
mm-hmm.
Vaughn recognized the merit of that program. She was actively working to submit a grant proposal so that we could actually do that. And of course, she was terminated by the administration.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, nobody else was least bit interested. Now, if we did
not any money in it for them.
Yeah, see? Now, look what that would have done for us. First of all, it would take property that's not paying any property taxes. As a matter of fact, it's costing us a lot of money. We've already sank anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 into demolishing the structure that was on the property.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's vacant, we have to constantly go out there and cut the grass. People take the opportunity to dump stuff there, so we got to go out there and remove trash, sofas, dressers, mattresses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. It's all, people throw tires there just because it's a vacant piece of property. And And so it costs us money. It continually costs us money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a total losing proposition. But you put a house up there, and you put persons in there who would not normally be able to have a house.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, these homes are 3-bedroom, 2 baths, fully insulated with energy-efficient appliances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not very big, 1,500 square feet, not that big,
mm-hmm.
but it's a lot bigger than a 2-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
And the mortgage payment would be almost close to a 2-bedroom apartment. The average 2-bedroom apartment in Alexandria is about $870 a month.
That's right.
This would be like about $950 a month for a 3-bedroom home with a yard and brand new, okay? Now, the difference is home ownership is not for everybody.
Yeah.
There are some people that will never take care of a home, all right? So if we end up and put somebody like that in there, we're going to have to come in, make a whole lot of repairs and sell it to, and get somebody else in there. But the people who really want a home and want to establish roots and want to be an anchor, they plan to be there definitely for the next 20, 25 years, that's the folks we're looking for. Now, they will have to maintain. So even though it's a lease purchase, they will need to, if the garbage disposal plugs up, you got to get that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call the city and we come fix it.
No. Nope.
You fix it. If the sink stops up, you need to call a plumber and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if the dishwasher stops working and it's no longer under warranty, you need to get that repaired.
That's right.
Because you have to understand, this is your home.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be completely your home if you can hang in there for 15 years.
Yep.
You know, and I've talked to some folks. I'm going to tell you, I've talked to some folks, and they actually retired. They worked a job and retired.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know they're still renting? They never
owned a home. That's right. Yep.
They're still renting.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll move from one rental place to another, and they'll tell you, I was in this one for 12 years.
Yep.
But it just got so bad, and nobody fixed it up. You know, and I did work myself and all that stuff. I've had many stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if we could get some young folks or some old folks who have retired,
mm-hmm.
you know, imagine if you get someone who's 62 years old and retired,
mm-hmm.
and they're able to make those payments, and for the next 15 years, that'll actually be there.
Yep.
And they could either pass it on, sell it, do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But what we would not do, we would not allow it to turn into rental property.
Exactly.
We would not let people who are earning $100,000 a year come get this property at this low cost,
mm-hmm.
and do that. And by the way, this entire thing would run the city about $170,000 per home. So
that would be money going back in.
Back to the city.
Yeah. $175 per family member, per household.
And the beauty of it is I wanted to establish an enterprise fund. So when these folks are paying their mortgage,
mm-hmm.
it goes right back into that fund. And when that fund builds up to $170,000 again, you go do another house.
Mm-hmm.
So you just keep rotating that money, recycling that money through,
mm-hmm.
and continue doing this. Now, here's another benefit from that. Let's say we got several homes on a street, which we do,
mm-hmm.
several that were adjudicated. We took over. We demolished the homes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you take two lots that's in the middle. Repartition them into one lot, put this home up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what it does to the other two lots? you put that $170,000 structure there,
mm-hmm.
guess what that does to the other two lots?
It brings up the, what's the name, the value of it.
It increased their property
mm-hmm.
value. So now, if you can do that, now their property value is not $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you skip those properties and do the same thing on the other side of it,
it's
you got $170,000 property here,
mm-hmm.
you got two adjudicated properties here, you have $170,000 property there, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now what it's done, it's lifted those properties mm-hmm. that's adjacent
to it. That's right.
From $2,500 up to $10,000. Other people might want to come in and actually
build
a home themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now the city's not losing money, and these other folks are getting something that's worth the value they're paying for.
Yep.
It's not like they're paying $15,000 for something that's worth $2,500.
That's right.
They're now paying a market value that's equivalent to what the property's worth now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all because we invested in ourselves.
Yep.
See, right now, no developer is going to come in and do it.
Mm-mm.
Because as far as they're concerned, the city needs to give that property to them, or the city needs to waive the liens on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's taxpayer money. If you waive it or give it away, you've given away taxpayer
money. Mm-hmm.
Total loss. At least as long as you're holding the land,
yeah.
you got something.
Yeah. That's right.
But this way, we actually get our taxpayer money back. And we renew the face of those declining communities.
Well, my job is not to make everybody look beautiful. I'm only just make one particular area beautiful, two particular areas beautiful. I'm not concerned about what y'all need because y'all act like animals. Y'all, I look at your yards. I look at how you maintain your homes. Ain't no way I'm going to want all that money to be going over in them neighborhoods for y'all to tear the houses up. Period. Okay? I'm just letting you know that's what I'm not going to do. So that ideal is done. Okay? Can we talk about something else? Can we talk about Johnny Down? Let's talk about something else. Okay?
But
I think that was an excellent idea when you came forward with it before, and the idea when you told me that you went and talked to him and he, like, didn't want – that tells you right there, y'all, he wasn't in there for y'all. That was a first sign to let you know that he was full of crap when he told what he was going to do and he didn't do it. Now, just imagine, if the first year he was in there, he's on his fourth year right now, just imagine how many families could have benefited from – that, because at least y'all would have had about 10 of those houses within a year's time. Every year building more and more houses, you would have a whole neighborhood taken care of in no time with nice houses and people flowing in that money as far as revenue into the city. So you can lower the utility bills and give more incentives out to people who own those homes. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you could have done. But because you're not in the mood, I mean, because you're not ready to move forward, you're going to have that attitude, and you holler about trying to keep the people here, and we're trying to do what we got to do to take the people here and all that crap he be talking. That's bull crap because he's not doing anything. He's been in there 4 years, and you tell me what initiative, any brand new innovative initiative that has been made for the city of Alexandria that will affect black folks. Not nothing. I can hear crickets because there isn't any new ideals. Okay? There's none. There's none. Nobody else come to him with anything. And he likes it that way. But if y'all put him back in there, y'all going to get the same old again. Come next year, it'll be the same thing. Ain't nothing changed. Because the opportunities have already been there. 4 years, y'all. Believe it or not, 4 years is a long time. Is a short, long time.
You can get a college degree in
four years. Yep. Sure can. When y'all look at it from that standpoint, not to say that things cannot get better. No matter who you guys put in, it's really not about the person you put in that office. It's about y'all, okay? Because you can put whoever you want in that office. You can always take them out of that office too, okay? And I said that. I said that long time ago. Because he proved what we said he was doing, he proved it all the way for all those 4 years. He did absolutely nothing for the black community. I'm not just saying that, you guys are witness to it because you're living it every day. He hasn't brought anything to the table that's going to help you out, to benefit y'all. So when y'all get ready to go back to those polls in November or October, when y'all go to the polls, y'all better think quiet. Y'all better be thinking real hard about if you want to continue going through the same thing, while everybody around you is progressing and moving forward and being innovative and bringing technology in. If y'all don't want that, y'all going to get exactly what you've been getting all this time. And it's not about putting anybody down. It's listening to the ideal that everybody else. Okay, yes, I see that. Okay, Ms. Velma, that's fine. Nobody coming up with some great ideas. And every time I see somebody bringing something forward, there's always somebody white. I don't see nobody that look like us come up there with a plan of action. None. Maybe I'm not watching the same Channel 4 y'all watching, but I don't see it. And I hadn't been in a city council meeting, Lord, and I don't know how long. But I never see any of y'all, any of us, coming up with some innovative ideals to bring to the city.
Because people feel like if it don't affect them directly, I'm not concerned about it. It's not bothering me until it affects you.
Exactly.
And they're going to holler.
But you see, they don't do that. Y'all know who I'm saying, they. They don't do that. They, if they find anything out of place, they come into that city council meeting and talk about it and get it voted on and taken care of. Because like he says, if you're part of that special interest, you're going to get whatever you need.
Yeah.
But we don't threaten them enough. We too soft. We too forgiving. We too compassionate. We're compassionate against the same people who don't want to see us progress. And I don't understand that concept. I don't understand that concept.
We have to condition to forgive. And, you know, and we've been conditioned like that.
Yes.
And we continue to press forward like that instead of saying, hey, we didn't forgive enough. It's time to do something
else. It's time to do something else. That's right. Because you keep letting them get by and they keep doing the same thing over and over again to us. When are we going to stop letting them get away with it? When are we going to go and protest his office? When I say protest, I'm not saying, I'm saying go up there and tell him that we put you in office and you haven't done a darn thing for us. And, well, it's too late now because it's almost time for him to come up again. I just wouldn't advise myself to go in that ballot and go into that booth and vote for him again. Because even though he had an opportunity, he had people coming to him, telling him great ideas, innovative, solar panel farms, all this stuff was brought to him. He was in office then. All that stuff was brought to him, and he never did anything about it.
It wasn't the right color.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It wasn't the right color.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
the right people didn't bring the message.
That's right.
Oh, and it's
Mr. Corner. Yeah. Corner. Yes. Corner. I'm saying he's
got interesting
all of a sudden.
Hey.
That's always interesting. But when you say they, them, we got we and us. This is something I've been thinking about us. Now I realize something about them. Each culture sets its own tape. Okay, each culture sets its own table. If that culture eats kai soup, that's what they do. They eat kai soup, and you cannot change that. Now, if my culture, if I believe I got to go to Ash, Pineville, and I got the great Peabody sitting right there, and I don't believe Peabody is number one, now what's wrong with that culture?
Right.
You are struggling to be 2A or 3A when the majority of your city looks like us. It's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we see ourselves as an entire group? And everybody has mastered that except us. I'm one black guy.
That's right.
That's I believe in us. And I'm not going to, I don't care what the LSU or Northwest or whatever. I got Southern and Brown. And I believe. I believe in me. And if I don't believe in me, I will never believe in Mr. Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not.
That's
Mr.
True.
Porter has as much more going for him than I have going for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Porter is number one. I believe in him. Now, I got to believe in myself, though, to believe in Mr. Porter. And if I don't think much of myself, I can forget it.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
And I realize now, at my age now, we do have a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's going to take that group to solve.
Yes.
European America has whitewashed our people to believe if it's not their way, it's not the right way.
That's right.
We have to pattern everything after European America.
Yep.
And the government has to pass a law about African American hair. You know we have a problem.
That's right. That's right. Just a simple thing is our hair. Just
our
a simple thing is our hair that you have to pass a law. That tells you a lot.
Mm-hmm. And our people feel that, you know, and all we have to do is just sit down and think.
Mm-hmm.
And I one of my nieces, she has a full lip when she was younger, you know, being in other people's company, they would. I say, girl, you got the prettiest lips in the world. And now I tell her at 43, I say, now, they go and get Botox to get your lips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I said, you were born with hers.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
I say, we always have talked about black women, about our behind. Oh, our behinds are so big, you know, this. But what are they doing? Go and get on the table to alter that butt to look like a black woman's butt.
Mm-hmm.
They always in the pen and said, I remember when my mother worked at Pine Crest for years. She retired from there, and she worked in occupational therapy. And one of her colleagues saw me for the first time. She said, oh, my God, I wish I had your daughter's color. And she said, I'm standing there, you know, but I say, you want to be my color? I said, girl, if you wake up in the morning this color, you'll commit suicide because you'd be a black woman. And my mama said, you don't get out of here. Get off my coming up. Go! I said, I'm just telling them. I said, they want certain things from us now, but we don't accept the things that they are paying to get. We have to learn to accept what we already have. They are paying thousands of dollars to get what we were born with.
That's
so
right.
Really, who should we be looking at? Not European Americans, African Americans, Black Americans.
Yeah.
And we just, and I just can't believe how Peabody has everybody to go over there and ask.
Yeah.
Okay. When I found that out, I was like, well, oh no, they're going to ask. I'm like, well, Peabody, it was good enough for me, so what's the problem now?
It's crazy. It's real crazy the way things are. How we see things and how we don't get it. And if we don't start being like other people, there's a lot of us who do the work of making sure everybody is playing their part when it comes to taking care of their city. There's a lot of cities. You know, they always show the bad part of all the major cities. You ever notice that?
Right.
They don't talk about
like Chicago.
Chicago.
They always talk about Southside. I say, have y'all ever been down there to the 50 mile? No.
Mm-hmm.
I say, have you ever been over there to the Northside of Chicago? No. They're not going to tell you that, but there's a lot of black people over there.
It's beautiful there. They have the most greatest restaurants. The reason why I know is because I have a friend, him and his wife, they're called the Black Foodies. They be on Facebook, Instagram. They live in Chicago, and they go all over, and they go to the nice restaurants that are on. You don't hear none of that, you guys. And the food, the vegetarian restaurants, all the stuff that they go eat and show on it, how proud they are to be a Chicagoan,
man, y'all be surprised, but y'all don't see that. Y'all hear them talking about all the shootings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they push.
And it's just as many white shooters as it is
black.
But
yep. But
media
they
have the brainwashed youth.
Everybody. That's right.
We are savage beasts.
That's right.
But if people just sit down and do research sometimes, you don't have to go that far. You can go right to your computer, see their phone, Google, and look at the crimes, the hate, the hideous crimes, the most brutal crimes that are committed or not committed by us.
That's, yeah, everything, because they have to make sure they let everybody know how savage we are, how inhumane we are, how heartless we are. That has to be the propaganda, the push to make everybody think that black Americans are the worst, okay? That is a push. That the, and let me tell you, the media is 100% behind it, 100%.
Okay.
Because they're told what to show us. The concept. Now, if you keep showing me all the time, repetitiously, how violent I am, how am I going to start thinking as a young child?
That I'm violent and that's the way to go.
That's right. That's right.
And I got a lot of people, we need to quit going where we tolerate it. I said, because they're tolerating us. And let's go where we are celebrating.
Celebrate it. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. You can't, and if we could get people to understand. Now, I admire parents who take their kids out of poverty and move them into nice neighborhoods, send them to nice schools. I understand that, and I'm very proud that they can do that. But if my child is in one of those schools and they're being harassed every day, and they're going through being called names, cotton thrown at them, hit with a whip, hung, all these different little things. Do you think I'm going to continue letting my child go to that school? Yes. Do you think I'm going to let my child keep going to that school? No. I'm going to pull my child out of that school. But a lot of parents, they make excuses. It's almost like, well, I'm hoping this will teach them a lesson. Huh?
What kind of lesson? To be a bully? To harass them?
Yeah. Why would you want your child to continue going through that? I really don't understand that. I would pull my child out of that school. Because let me tell you something. A lot of times, what they do is they want you to pull your child out because they really don't want your child there. That's why they don't do anything to the bully. The bully keeps them until you come to school. They keep the door because the parents of that bully is somebody that somebody else knows. So they will sacrifice your child to keep that bully in that classroom because it benefits them on the adult side. Okay. And if it's a private school, you know benefactors are very important. Okay. So they'll tolerate a lot of stuff. They'll tolerate their child being hazed at school. They'll tolerate that. But I think we shouldn't expose our children to that. I don't think we should expose our children to think that, you know, because we have money that we're better than our black kids that we don't associate with them. For instance, let me tell you something. Did y'all hear about that murder of the young black Nigerian guy who was dating a white girl? Did y'all hear about that?
That's
in
dead.
Florida?
She stabbed him like
20 times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She stabbed him 20 times. But the problem is, the issue is, he had tweeted for a long time his disdain for black women.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said how much he did not like black women, and he went on and on and on. Well, he despised black women. Well, now the family is asking for black women or black people or the black community to come stand up for him and help them in the investigation because this young lady is out of jail. She's not locked up or anything.
They said she passed through the jailhouse.
Yep.
Not even handcuffed. She passed through.
Yep. Yep. Now, the problem with that is we're always saving everybody. You're looking for us to save you. But we're tired as black women of being disrespected. So everybody, we're not going to run to you. We're letting y'all know now. Everybody ain't going to get our attention. That wasn't a, I mean, I'm not saying I'm sorry that it happened to him, but that wasn't no Trayvon Martin, okay?
Right.
That wasn't a George Floyd situation, okay? Or Ahmaud Arbery. What about the young man who, the guy who, the cop, the female white cop came in there in Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What was her name? Amber something?
Yeah, Amber Geiger.
Yeah. That whole situation. Now, we'll fight for them because that man was sitting at home eating ice cream on his couch when she came in. What I believe happened was with that situation was they used to date or they used to have a little BFF stuff going on, friends with benefits situation going on, and he didn't want it anymore. That's what I believe happened. He didn't want it anymore. He had moved on, did something different, and she didn't make a mistake. She came by there for a booty call. That's basically what happened, and he had already explained to her he wasn't interested anymore, and that's why she shot him. That's my belief.
But she knows she was fooling with a married man, too.
Yep, on top of that, she was fooling with a married man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you look at that. I'll fight for that because he was no longer messing with her. But when you get on social media and degrade black women, your mom's black. Your father's black. Your sisters are black. Why would you do that? And then now y'all, the family's asking for us to come and protest and help with the investigation and help get her put back in jail. Why? And I'll be honest with you, a lot of black women ain't having it. They said it's none of their business.
And you know what I noticed about most race of people that come to America?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if they Indian, Chinese, Japanese, Asian descent,
mm-hmm.
African descent. I don't care who it is. When they come to America, they all get white.
Yes. They do. And they call us Akadas. Do you know what Akadas mean in their language? It's A-K-A-T-A. Akadas mean black slaves. So that's what they call us. The ones
and
who don't like us.
With the Africans that come here, he totally gets white.
Yeah,
I mean, and you know, I have had them to tell me, they want to know why, especially during the Trump era, why we had nothing for, if we tolerate white people,
mm-hmm.
but we know how far to go with them. And y'all need to get over, we talk about slavery and how y'all need to get over that. I said, how you going to tell me what we need to get over when you came here on a lottery pool and they done gave you 5 years of whatever you need,
mm-hmm.
5 years of rent-free, utility,
mm-hmm.
Education. Health insurance and all that. You gonna tell me what to get over when we can't even get our water to process?
Yeah, that's right.
I said, so if you don't, how you gonna know where we going if you ain't never been where we've been? Understand where I'm coming from? Look at me like, I said what I said. Don't tell me what to get over when you never walked in our shoes. You came here with everything handed to you on a silver platter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, we're still struggling to try to get the basics of what we need
mm-hmm.
in America.
Yeah.
So don't come here and I say, now y'all want to kiki ha ha and become white. I say, let your child get pulled over by a white police officer. Mm-hmm. You don't think that they're not going to, I say, and when your child open that mouth and that accent come out, it's going to be worse on them than it would African American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sad that it's like that, but when they come over here, they're saying we're like the lower of
right.
blacks because we came from slaves. Our ancestors were slaves, so that makes us beneath them because they came into, Africa being African. They were born into it.
And I claim to how this slavery come about. If your forefathers would have been selling us, would have been no slavery.
Yeah. A lot of that because, hey, And that's how they feel about us. Not all of them do, but a lot of them feel that's why they feel that we're below them, we're beneath them, because we came that way. Another local story that I want to talk about, I don't know if you guys heard about it. You guys know about this ex-police officer named Andrew Ballett? Anybody know about him?
Is that the child predator?
No. Andrew Ballett is an African-American young police officer that I think he got fired or got resigned or something. He doesn't go deep into his story. But he's been posting on Facebook exposing all the stuff that's going on at APD right now. I mean, he's been exposing some things. He whatever they did to him, he is angry. Okay? I think I just posted some stuff on Universal Collective Network if you want to go over there and look at some of the stuff, because I don't know if you could hear it from my phone, because I got my, let me see if I can do that. But,
and he used to work for APD?
Mm-hmm, used to be a police officer. Uh-huh, yeah. Let's see if I can pull it up. And I just shared it. Here it goes. Okay. It says right here, his name is Andrew Ballett. And it says, Andrew, Alexandria Police is one of the most confusing places to work. They don't want you there, but they need you there. They praise you to your face and then crucify you off the radar. Explain to me how I only got phone calls from people who really cared, but now that I'm talking about Hardball, y'all got people like Detective Butler adding me on Facebook. You wasn't doing nothing when your girl Natalie was violating my rights. So why are you so concerned now that she's going to get hers? I'll wait. You must have forgot I used to help you stalk people Facebook pages as a cadet in the academy while everybody else was downstairs collecting a check. You must have forgot I had the second highest GPA in my academy class. I tried out for SWAT and was at Slocum as a role player, learning the entire time. I hopped in them bite suits to learn. I did drug interdiction to learn. I was being considered for the ATF task force as a rookie. Gangs, guns, and grindy. Remember? I was in the detective division every chance I got to learn. I know y'all tricks. I know y'all trades. I know y'all dirt. I know what y'all drive. I know where y'all stay. Lexus Nexus. Remember? ThinkStream. Remember? If I wanted to do any of y'all something, I would have did it, and you would have been able to prove it, plain and simple. Y'all seem to have blacks figured out for the most part. From y'all ill-informed, unintelligible perspective, let me let you in on a little secret about racists. Y'all so used to being racist, you forget that smart black folk even exist. Why you think I got all your detective buddies from RSPSO and recording sounding absolutely retarded? Beavers have no formal education whatsoever, and doesn't even know what the 14th Amendment is, and he's commanding the detective division. Y'all, that's my ex-brother-in-law, Beavers. Y'all get so used to handling people bad, y'all never take a step back and ask yourself, who are we doing it to this time? Y'all wouldn't even be fearing your life if you was, y'all just mad because I'm not, never was, never will be your token black child. When I get paid, I'm rescuing all my people from your agency. I hope you can replace them. Then he says, Colin Butler, build your case and I'll build mine because I don't trust you. I never forgot how you treated that mother who couldn't find a babysitter. Come to find out it was my piece of blank, I ain't going to say the word, uncle's stepdaughter. And let me tell you, little man was better off with his mama. I don't know what that was about. Not saying you purposely tore a black family apart, but you can't help how you are. There's always that one out of any family. Y'all know, I guess you're that one. Years of racially motivating malpractice doesn't compensate for an educated black man. Good luck. I like your brother in traffic better anyway. So he is a young man that's very upset. Let me see what his video is. Hold up. Oh, I turned it down.
He's way over there in the corner.
Oh, okay. Oh, I know what he's doing. He's showing him what he's doing is he's showing all the things that he took, participated in voluntarily to learn the ropes when, you know, being an officer for the police academy and going through the school and everything. Obviously, they've done something to him because he's no longer with the APD, okay? And he's very upset about it. So I was talking to somebody, and they were saying that he kind of reminds us of that cop. Remember the cop in California that was trying to tell everybody about the racism that was going on? Remember that? That happened when? Do anybody remember that story? And they wind up finding him in somewhere in the woods, and they killed him in that cabin. Y'all remember that story? It was a black cop. He was an ex, I think he was in the Army. And he was trying to tell everybody that there was so much racism going on, and they wind up, it was on national news. They actually showed where they went and shot him at. Well, I guess he got fed up, and the way this guy talks, he talks almost on that same kind of level because he's an ex-Marine. And people don't realize what military people go through. So there might be, I'm not saying he has PTSD because I don't know that, but the way that he talks, if we pay attention to it, he's telling a story about what he went through, his experiences. But he's also angry. So we've been kind of keeping up with watching, you know, watching his posts and stuff, what he's saying. But he's exposing a lot of stuff. He exposed also this man named Nichols. I don't know if y'all, he's an officer. Let me find that one, too, that he talked about him today. Let me find that one here. Go out of there. I'm going to go here. Let me see if I can find that.
Miss McCall, I heard about that incident with that guy. He had gone camping with those fellas. They were out there like they were friends.
That's right.
In the cabin, and they killed him.
That's right. Now, is this the one about the shootout? This was FBI, I think FBI or marshals or somebody killed him. They were on a chase with him, and he wound up at that cabin. That's how they found him. They found him at that cabin.
Yep. I thought they were out together on the island.
No, I know what story you're talking about. There is another story about they went camping with a black guy, and I forgot he was supposed to be their friend, and they wind up killing him. Sure did. You're right. They sure did. They wind up killing him.
Being on the council, I've had a chance to look at policing, and sad to say it took me that long to start paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm on the opinion that we are the ones who get policed.
Yeah.
And I don't believe white police don't care about my people. And don't you know, if you're any kind of a decent person, I have two girls and two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know, I'm not going to treat any other boy or girl or child different than my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how policemen can abuse another person.
Yeah.
I don't see how policemen can even abuse a woman when you're living with your wife, you've got your mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something sick about that thin blue line thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's something sick about that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you would think you'd be proud to protect your community.
Yeah.
But we don't get protected.
Nope.
We don't get protected. And it's going to take a lot of training.
train that all of that culture.
Yeah.
I've been doing on the culture of policing. We have always been the ones, and I see history. That's,
yeah.
Well, that's very real.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to take for the change?
Yeah, it's going to take a lot, and it's got to do it nationwide. They have to do it. And a lot of times, you got to remember what they used to be. They were called slave catchers. So that mentality is there, regardless of how they work within, you know, with black cops and all that. And there's cops who've come out and talked about how they treat other cops, certain ones. They haze them. They do the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And nothing gets done to them. Nothing gets done, no disciplinary or nothing. So this one he wrote, this was one day ago, on today's episode of Knowing Your Police. Meet Craig, Creepy Craig Nickel. Creepy Craig was fired while I was a trainee fresh out of the academy at the Alexandria Police Department. Alexandria, Louisiana, Ronnie Howard, chief for sexual harassment. Okay, Creepy Craig liked them young, ill-informed, green, and straight out of the academy. Officers Donicky and Gidry Thomas, or small in stature, officer who wishes to be unnamed, no longer with the agency, but for obvious reasons. Creepy Craig is now back employed with Alexandria and is ready to sexually harass every young lady he encounters from here to Timbuktu. Last I remember, he drives a pink and white 07 style Mustang when he's not in his APD furnished vehicles, of course. My issue is that I was in the Marine Corps, and I am now considered by several Caucasian members of the department as armed and dangerous. First and foremost, yes, I am. With that being said, any individual you see in a uniform is mentally ill to a certain degree and is armed and dangerous because they are always armed and always have some sort of BS on their mind. It's okay to be armed and dangerous. Furthermore, Creepy Craig was in the Marine Corps and didn't learn a thing. Sexual predator, and for whatever reason, Ronnie Howard saw fit to hire him after Jared King got rid of him. Make it make sense, Chief. And another thing, if you're at APD and you need to beg your husband or wife for forgiveness, you had better get to talking before I do. Y'all know who y'all are. The people are waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Creepy Craig Nickel. And he put a picture up of him. Okay. So y'all need to get y'all APD together because things ain't looking hot over there. So this guy is angry, okay? Okay. Somebody made him mad. I don't know who it is, but somebody made this guy mad. So what y'all think about this? Have y'all heard anything about this young man?
I haven't heard yet. I haven't heard. I'm surprised we haven't.
Yeah.
Because maybe the press just keeps it quiet. The
yeah.
The press don't want to help him. If they bring it up, it's helping him, really.
Actually, he said that. He said that KLB knows what's going on, KLX knows what's going on, and they refuse to tell the story. And he said that about the town talk, too. He said, y'all know what's going on, and y'all being quiet.
Sounds like the city of Alexandria got some money they ready to give away because if Creepy Craig doing all that, there's going to be some lawsuits for.
Mm-hmm. Do y'all remember the one of the young ladies, they said she's no longer there. She's the one who went to Pineville. Remember the white chick that went to Pineville? That was what he was talking about.
Oh, that's okay. She definitely
yep.
did not want to be involved with any of that. She mm-hmm. got out of APD.
Yep.
She was happy
mm-hmm.
to be away, and she refused to press any charges
mm-hmm.
or file a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted She was just happy to be free of that situation.
So you know that was a toxic situation over there. And if you guys have never worked in anything like law enforcement, you guys, that's across the board. And I'm not just saying, I have a friend who used to work with the RSCF, with RPSO, and she says the same thing. It's all across the board. Even when I was working in corrections, all of this kind of in stuff that was going on, it was literally going on there too. With females, even in the military, for some reason, not all males, but for some reason, there is a large group of males do not respect women in uniform, period. It's not part of who they are. They're not supposed to respect women in uniform. And they really feel this way, and they show it in their actions, and they'll make their little snide, cocky remarks. They're arrogant. They're disrespectful remarks constantly because it's in their mind that we don't belong in those uniforms. So just imagine what she was going through working there with that type of mentality. And then on top of that, you got the black uniformed officers dealing with the racism. So that is a very, very toxic place to work. But that's majority of the time, anytime you're in law. I'm not saying all law enforcement departments are like that, but there's a bit majority of them that are. And these are not unusual stories. These are common stories, you know, that these officers are doing these things. You got some certain type of officers that can get away with straight murder, and nobody says nothing to them. If you complain about them, that thin blue line, if you step over that, you can hang it up. You can hang it up. So whatever he's going through, I don't know his story. It would be interesting to see if I could get him to tell his story. But I would like to find out what's going on and why is he so angry. Because nobody's done this. I know Cooperman didn't bring out any of this stuff. Do y'all remember him talking about any of this in public?
No.
So this, and also this is a younger guy. So young guys have a different mindset than the older, you know, the older black men. But it's just interesting how your mayor didn't want to show videos of incidents that happened. The idea that he got rid of all the black officers that, quote unquote, were bad officers, according to them, the way that some people were able to resign and get better jobs, quote unquote, Jared King. All these things, we're not paying attention to what's really going on. He made a comment that he knows that Chief Ronnie Howard, that he's a flunky. You know, those type of information or that kind of saying, those type of sayings are out there about how Hall is part of this too. So, I mean, I'm curious and I'm kind of cautious about why is he thinking this way and what happened to him to why he's doing this. I mean, exposing what's going on with APD. And I know you already said, Mr. Porter, that you guys don't have enough people. People are not.
No, we don't. As far as police officers,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we don't. The mayor said something last week, which was totally untrue.
Uh huh.
And it's sad because I've actually had three persons in law enforcement that told me something entirely different than what the mayor said to the city council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, because of the crime, we've had folks come forward to the city council meeting and asking questions about police patrols, police coverage, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And the mayor's response was that every shift is fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now this is what fully staffed is on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria is divided up into 9 zones.
Mm-hmm.
On each ship, and we have 4 ships, on each ship, and the ships are 12-hour ships, so our police officers work 12-hour shifts.
Okay? Uh-huh.
Each ship would have 1 officer patrolling each zone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 9 patrol officers.
Mm-hmm.
The 9 zones are divided into 3 sectors so that there is a sergeant responsible for 3 zones.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 9 patrol officers. You have 3 sergeants who is over 3 officers in those zones. And then you have a desk sergeant back at the headquarters. And then you have a lieutenant who's over the entire ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's 9 plus 5. That's 14 people would mean a ship is fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody goes on vacation, we don't have someone to pull because we're short of officers. So we have to pull somebody off of the 2 shifts that are not working. Okay? If we have somebody who's sick,
mm-hmm.
then you got the same issue. So, and the problem is if you work a 12-hour shift, you need a certain amount of time off before you can return to work.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is a lot of times we have persons on vacation, we've got persons on sick leave, we got persons who've been disciplined and they're on
administrative leave.
Yeah, right. Or you have some folks that have been assigned to training,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they have to maintain a certain certification, the public safety officer, peace officer skills training.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have folks that's not there
mm-hmm.
for one reason or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're pulling people from another ship, then when it's time for them to work their regular shift, they're pretty much burned out. So it just compounds the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what the mayor told us at the city council meeting was that all the shifts are fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
And that same exact day that he was saying that, and these folks pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
The very next day, they were letting us know that's not true because on that day, these 2 people was missing off of this ship. And these 2 people was missing the ship before.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some folks that was not on, you know, didn't report for duty on that ship for whatever reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, that means if you don't have 9 patrol officers, you don't have every zone covered.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got an officer trying to cover maybe 2 zones, you know?
Wow.
Things like that. And what happens when it gets really bad, they have to take the desk sergeant
mm-hmm.
from the desk
mm-hmm.
and put him out on patrol. And then they have to take the lieutenant to try and cover the lieutenant's job and the desk sergeant's job.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we're calling to report something and the phone rings and rings and rings and nobody's on it, that's because there's just one person on there and they're probably already tied up on 2 lines.
Exactly.
You know? And but that's our situation. Now, we're not unique.
Mm-hmm.
Alexandria's not unique.
Exactly.
New Orleans has the largest amount of vacancies that they've ever had since the police force was implemented. You know, you just can't get people to go into law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's unfortunate that some of the ones who do go into law enforcement, they're really not cut out for it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And they should not be police officers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a teacher. There were folks that I would not let my kids in their class, you know.
Yeah.
Working with them, and I'm serious. Mm-hmm. You would never come anywhere close to my kid. If my kid was in your class, I'm going to make sure I take them out or I'll switch schools. And these were teachers I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was pathetic. They were not cut out to be teachers. They should have chosen a different profession.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's the same thing with doctors. There are some persons that should not be
have
doctors.
Zero personality.
Ooh, no, it's not rather tennis.
I mean, you know,
so, my dog.
Yeah. And the problem is you got that with every profession.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just law enforcement. It's not teaching. It's not medicine. It's every profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
I worked with engineers who only wanted to be an engineer because of the salary. Went through college, completed, but when they got there to do the job, they had no interest in doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
They would like to do everything else except engineer.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
they wanted the money, and they were the most awful employees you can imagine.
That's like nursing. The straight A student in nursing, I tell them I don't want to.
Mm-mm.
You got book sense. You don't have no common sense.
No. So unfortunately, that's the case with us. Now, what I would like to know, how long that young man worked at APD.
Yeah.
What he revealed in his post was
mm-hmm.
that he completed the academy
mm-hmm.
and he was assigned to some various sectors,
mm-hmm.
but we don't. I'd like to know how long after he completed the academy that he worked.
Mm-hmm.
With him. You know, was it 2 years? Was it 5 years? You know.
Okay, I found his video real quick. Let me see if I can get it.
What's his problem with APD? I'm going to let y'all in on a few little secrets, all right?
Can y'all hear that?
Hey, mama, I'm still black. I'm still breathing. My last name's still valid, even though I don't really like it. I hope all is well. Tell everybody I said hello. Tell Granny I said hello. I wonder if this is what Osama felt like back in the day, in my little secret lair and stuff. It's crazy because I'm so dangerous, right? So, a little bit of my backstory, I can't get it up. A little bit of my backstory, man. So, I'm from LeCount. I went to Tioga High School. I graduated from Tioga. Once I left Tioga High School, I went straight to, I did a semester in college. Then from college, I went to the Marine Corps. Marine Corps taught me a lot of cool stuff. I got to shoot at stuff, blow up stuff, break a couple bones, you know, nothing major. I took my medicine today, y'all. I promise I did. It may not seem like it, but I took my medicine today. Thank you, courtesy of Bradley's Parish Sheriff's Office. You know, they came, got me, took me a ride to the hospital and everything, you know, made sure I was okay. I go to the Marine Corps or whatever. I'm like, you know what? Mom always said, go to college, get your education. So what I do, I go to college, I get my education. From there, I go to APD. Oh, my God, man. APD, right? You got to go through the academy before you get to the road. So I'm in the academy doing my thing. I'm like the smartest thing in there, walking, like living and breathing. There was this girl in the academy, man. Her name was Deputy Jackson for Negative Parish Sheriff's Office. And, man, Deputy Jackson was fine. I ain't going to lie. I wanted Deputy Jackson. I sent her. I liked her. I had the album and I got her. You know, that's what I did. And let me tell you, boy, Deputy Jackson came with some problems. Long story short, short story long, man, I pulled up on some bull she was doing on Christmas back in 2020, and just some stuff is not a good time. You know, you've been drinking with your people. Holiday ain't no good time to catch somebody doing no shicey stuff, you know? So I got real pissed off real quick, and I did something real stupid. And lo and behold, you know, a month or so later, whatever, I ended up not working for Alexandria, which was no big deal, you know, the next day. I told my superiors what happened. I was like, look, LT, Lieutenant Wistown was my LT, and Bobby Brenton was my sergeant. I was like, look, LT, sergeant, I'm sorry. I messed up last night. Like, I did X, Y, and Z because of X, Y, and Z. This is what's going on. I let them know, like, look, y'all, her supervisors are forcing her to report this. Like, she went about her way. I went about mine, but, like, her supervisors are not happy. And let me just be real with y'all, man. Like, everybody looking like, ooh, you put your hands on that girl. I'm sorry, y'all. Like, I apologize. But at the end of the day, bro, my ex-girlfriend's mouth was this big and her brain was this big, like a lot of y'all. And, I mean, I've seen a couple of y'all get, you know, batted a couple of times, you know, working the street just because y'all talk too much, man. That man working all day long and you just, but that's neither here nor there. That's not healthy dating anyway, so I don't encourage anybody to be putting hands on nobody. Like, it's stupid. You end up in a mugshot. Ask me how to. So with that being said, I was going through everything, right? They put me through anger management, kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever. I was going to my little classes, doing my thing, coming to LA, paying my little $20, being like, what's up, George? I was at George Allen's class and everything or whatever. And everything was good until I started looking over some things, right? And I started acquiring some things. And I started connecting some dots and putting two and two together, and I got four. And before I know it, I found out that this dirty detective violated my rights. Shame on her, Natalie. Shame on you. Yeah, man, so let me tell you how due process works. There's this concept called due process. It's guaranteed under the 14th Amendment. And it's basically the natural flow of the justice system, in a nutshell. Due process is just the natural flow of the justice system. Now, as any component of the justice system, you cannot force due process. I'm going to say that again. In any component of the justice system, you cannot force due process, whether you be an arresting officer, an attorney, a prosecutor, an investigator, a district attorney, a judge, a mayor, a councilman, any of those people who think they're just utterly important. You cannot force justice. So what happened was I acquired this text message that paralleled with the text message that my ex-girlfriend sent me. I was at work one day, and she just kind of expressed to me, like, look, hey, I know Christmas happened. Okay, we can't do nothing about that. That's in the past. Look, I got a lot of people from a lot of different angles telling me, like, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. I'm tired of doing whatever people want me to do. I'm tired of people telling me to do stuff. I'm tired of people making me do stuff. I'm tired of people forcing me to do stuff. And this is her words verbatim, y'all, like, verbatim. I cannot make this up. Like, I have the actual text messages. I'll post them at the end of these, like, comments. So, with that being said, Natalie Brown from Rapides Parish Sheriff's Office took it upon herself, after Deputy Jackson intentionally gave Natalie Brown her personal cell phone number, okay? I have a voice recorded conversation between myself and Deputy Jackson where she expressed that she intentionally gave Detective Brown her personal cell phone number so that her supervisors wouldn't be so intimately involved in the justice system, because that's a breach of due process under the 14th Amendment, and y'all can't do that. So Natalie Brown reaches out to Captain Titano, who is who at the time was the internal affairs guy down in Natchitoches Parish. Lieutenant Wilson was like ship level leadership, and then you had maybe like the commander of Bureau Patrol, or the commander of their patrol division, which was Chief Rashell or whatever. But they're all in a text message, and they're telling her, like, hey, Deputy Jackson,
The Detective Brown from Rapid Sheriff's Office told her that you ain't showing up for your interview. Mind you, this is the same interview that she said that, like, look, hey, I'm supposed to go talk to this detective, but I don't want to go talk to her, and I'm not going to go talk to her. She, in turn, reached out to this girl's boss, and they made her go and give this information as a condition of her employment. There's a lot of things going on right there legally that a lot of people are unaware of. For one, they violated, they not only violated my rights, but they violated her rights as well. And under Title IX, there's just some things you don't do in terms of employment, whether you be a civil servant or whether you work for a sheriff's organization. That's why I always tell people, if you want to get into policing, for one, don't do it. I'm playing. If you want to get into policing, go to a municipality. Now, it's a big funky word, but all that means is go to a city police department. Very, very simple. You fall under civil service protection. A lot more covered than a sheriff's department, because the thing is, at a sheriff's office, you can be dumb, you can be unintelligent, you can be ignorant, but hey, as long as you got you a couple good drinking buddies and dick-spitting friends, guess what? You're getting promoted. Ask me how I know. Ask me how I know. So yeah, bro, that's just how I ended up to this point. Now, what really made me mad was that instead of respecting my gangster for my mind, these people wanted to do this, they wanted to do that. The first time I spoke out, right, they sent this dude to come down to the count and harass me while I'm popping fireworks with my family, bro. Literally, I'm out there popping fireworks with my family, and this jerk comes up, stirring up a big scene, bro. And come to find out, this dude went to Northwestern around the same time my ex did, so... I mean, you put two and two together, you get four. Sometimes you get four and a half, you know, he was a chubby dude, you know. But with that being said, you know, that's neither here nor there. But at the end of the day, they sat out there for about 20 minutes, bro. I'm standing up there telling this dude, hey, rookie, like, what are you arresting me for? Because you're trying to say I disturbed the peace. You was already out here working on a disturbance, but you came and interjected yourself into my family's affairs. So that doesn't work. He was like, well, you're disturbing my peace. I'm like, bro, that law just came out and you barely learned about it. So... try again. Well, you know what? Just give me your ID. Like, bro, I don't have to give you my ID. That's in the constant. Like, that's a Supreme Court case that shows, like, if I'm not intimately involved with your investigation or if I'm not hindering your current investigation, then I don't owe you a thing, you know? That's just how it works. So I'm sitting here trying to avoid a pissing contest with this deputy that obviously has little man syndrome, but, little man syndrome always prevails when it's behind a badge and a gun, unfortunately. So this dude ends up kind of slinging me around a little bit. You know, he's throwing me on the hood of the car. But what pissed me off was he's so busy slamming me on the hood of the car. I'm sitting here tapping this dumb rookie on his leg like, hey, cowboy, you planning on putting this handcuff on? Because right now I only got one of them on. I don't know about y'all. It don't feel good getting hit with one handcuff flailing around. Let me tell you, I've seen somebody get sliced from here to Timbuktu off of one of them. So. He's about to get his issue because he's pissed. For one, you're violating my rights, but I'm trying to spare you because I can obviously tell you a rookie. But now you're sitting up here abusing me on the hood of this car. You know, like he about got, but I ain't do it to him. But yeah, he sat out there. He called his dumb corporal. His name was Corporal Bradford. I'll never forget because he's a dummy. Soon as he gets out the car, man, he looks around. And he says, "What are all these people? I'm sorry, doing outside?" I don't know about y'all, but you don't get to come to a housing development and refer to anybody as these people. For one, you just might get beat to death because we don't do that. You don't come to no housing development. And for one, you don't come down to the count talking down on nobody from the count. We don't care if you a cop, dog, white, black, brown, purple. Like, you don't do that. Like, you may, like, literally, if you start something with somebody from the count, you may as well just start praying, bro, because, like, the whole town's coming from everywhere. Like, we may not, that town might be not small, that town might be this big, but I'm telling you, between, like, the greater refugees area, like, we deep. But, yeah, bro, he just came out there very, very disrespectful, and I'm trying to tell this dumb corporal the same thing, and I'm trying to tell this dumb rookie, and lo and behold, the corporal is no smarter than the rookie. In fact, the rookie may even be smarter than the corporal, because at one point that rookie went sat down and shut up. You know, the Bible says a fool with his mouth closed is still considered wise, but he had already showed everybody how much of a fool he was. So boom, here's little old me in the back of this police car trying to figure out what these dudes finna do. 30 minutes of deliberation, and the Three Stooges came up with popping fireworks near a school, a church, or a road near a distant office.
Wow.
Wow. I don't know if y'all have ever been to Goodwill Apartments in LeCount or Goodwill Apartments anywhere or any housing development. First and foremost, there is never a church in a housing development, and not in central Louisiana. I mean, they may be progressing somewhere else along the Bible Belt, but typically Bible Belters don't really lean towards the housing projects and the demographics that tend to, you know, stay in the housing projects. But it's a different subject for a different day, you know, different can of worms. So with that being said, like, why sit there, do everything you did, violate my rights, throw me on this car, but I get beat, and then you charge me with some bull? Cool. I said something about it. Them people had me OPC because I spoke up, bro. I was like, what? So I don't know if y'all remember, but the day I was in the yard just schooling they stupid tails about 20 minutes straight. I don't know where that video at. It disappeared when I was in Longley, so I don't know what they did. I don't know if they did, what they did, how they did, but I no longer have that video. I may be able to get with Facebook and be like, well, hey, I'm looking for something this date, this time, whatever, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. That I'm not sure. So with that being said, like, after that whole experience, I get to the hospital, right? Man, they got this dude in there talking cash. He's a security guard, man. He talking cash money noise. And then he lied to me. He was like, oh, yeah, I was in the Marine Corps, bro. You just don't do certain stuff. I was like, oh, yeah, you was in the Marine Corps? I was like, where'd you go to boot camp? He was like, well, there's only two spots. You know, there's only two places you can go. I was like, yeah, I'm very familiar with them. Which one did you go to? He was like, I went to the one in North Carolina. I was like, huh, that's strike one. Paris Island is in South Carolina. So then I asked him, I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'll give you second chances. I'm like, what's the Marine Corps' mascot? I'm going to do you a solid. I'm going to give you a hint. It's a dog. You know what? He couldn't tell me what kind of dog it was. So what I did was I took off running, and I got a nice little good momentum, and I waited until he was chasing behind me, and I Spartan kicked the life out of him. It felt good. It really did, because he was such a douche. He thought I was crazy.
Okay. So, this guy, what do y'all think about him? What does he sound like to y'all? Are y'all shocked?
Like he's undercover informant at one time.
Okay. What else? What else did y'all get out of him?
He has a lot of information on a lot of people.
Okay. What else? On the mental side, what do y'all find, y'all hear?
He got some issues going on because he rambled.
Yeah, exactly. He's intelligent. You can tell he's a very intelligent young man. Highly intelligent.
He got some issues going on up there because I was like, oh, boy. I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because the way he speaks, he don't stop.
Yeah.
Paul, he just keep going.
He just keeps talking on and on and on and on and on.
And normally those are some signs of some. You muted Miss Delma.
Exactly. It's like he goes on and on and on and on. Like he's trying to get the, he's telling the story, but he's telling, like, he keeps going on and on instead of stopping and pausing to get you to understand what he's saying. He just keeps going on and on and on and on. He said he was at Longleaf. Y'all know what Longleaf is, right?
That's the psychiatric hospital over there by the Coliseum, right?
He said they had him OPC. Mm-hmm. Now, if he was at home and they were popping firecrackers, I don't know what the problem, I don't know why he wound up them saying anything to him if he wasn't saying anything to them. He said that they were watching him, which I believe that when they don't want you to get out of hand or do something that they can't see and they could use against you, they're going to do stuff like this. They're going to follow you. They'll have stuff done. I believe some of the stuff he's saying. Now, the thing that I do see when he was saying something about him and his girlfriend. His girlfriend is a Natchitoches deputy. And he met her in the academy. He fell in love with her or whatever, what happened. And he came over there and he saw something and he hit her. from what it was saying. He put his hands on her, and that's how he got arrested. So he never says how long he was with APD, but he did say he went through the academy. So maybe this happened after the academy. I mean, maybe he was there as long as to go through the academy and then take up some more. I don't know where he's not saying exactly how long he was with APD, but he did say he was with them.
He says he was the smartest thing at the academy.
Yeah. He said he had the second highest GPA at the academy.
And I could believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he wasn't no dummy for once, for sure. He wasn't slow.
And he was talking about the fireworks.
Yeah.
And I tell people this all the time. You have to be cautious and careful with a veteran because fireworks, you know, put them back into that war.
But his thing was he was out there with the fireworks. He was actually with the family doing the fireworks. So obviously, it depends on what you did in the military.
Him being a Marine officer, you know they the first one boots on the ground. Yeah, they go clear out everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
The Marine officers, mm-hmm. and you know, I tell them, you know, no harm done, you know, don't take it personal, y'all. When I say this, it's only special type people that goes in the Marine Corps.
That's right. That's right.
Not everyone is fit for the Marine Corps.
That's right.
Marine people are, they decondition them to recondition them to believe what they want them to believe, to do what they want to do. Basically, they, you know, Marines can be brainwashed.
Easier.
Easier.
We all get brainwashed in the military.
But
they
the
just,
Marines
it's
are,
a different kind of brainwash.
Like I tell them, those are boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. Most of them have short fuse.
It
don't take much to get them ignited.
Yeah.
And they are a different breed, I tell them.
Yeah, because they are trained to be on first on the line. They're first out there, so they're trained that way. That's not, don't worry about that, y'all.
And he's